The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show.
On Relevant Radio.
Open the palace gates, ordered the emperor, and let the royal procession begin.
The crowd gasped when they saw the emperor. Everyone had heard that only clever people could see his clothes, so everyone cried out, "How splendid His Majesty looks in his new clothes, and look how well they fit!" Of course, no one could see the clothes, but none of them would admit that, because no one wanted to declare himself a fool. Until a small child cried out, "The Emperor has no clothes on!"
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
It's such a classic story, and it's so reflective of where we are today, isn't it? Don't you feel like you live in that kingdom? Everybody's running around naked. You just can't speak the truth. It's crazy. It really is. Look, I normally don't do this, but I'm getting tired of the direction things are heading and the lack of truth that we are seeing today. And I think as Catholics, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we need to speak truth, even when it's politically incorrect, even when it seems intolerant, even when it may even seem not compassionate. I think truth, even when it's hard, even when it might sting, even when it may cut, is compassionate. I think it is loving. I think it is just, and I think it's important. That little bit of audio that Maggie just played, it comes from a classic story. And I was thinking about this over the weekend. Yeah, what a great story, Hans Christian Andersen's story, The Emperor's New Clothes. If you've never read it, read it. I'll give you the thumbnail of it. The way the story goes is this, that two tailors, they come into a town, right? And they kind of bamboozle their way into the palace, and they convince everyone there that their weave is a fashion statement of the year. You know, this is the best, cutting edge. Only their new weave is nothing. Right? I mean, literally, it's nothing. But these tailors, they're able to convince all the people, including the emperor himself, that, these clothes, they're made of the most splendid royal fabric you could ever have. And these are royal garments for the emperor, and we'll make them for you. So they go ahead and they get paid to do their their tailoring. They make the emperor his garments. The emperor supposedly puts them on, but nobody has the courage to tell the emperor the truth. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. The emperor decides, he's going to go show off his new clothes to everyone. He has this huge procession. And even though everyone there, they're saying, oh my gosh, he's naked. He's got no clothes on, right? All the people in the city, what do they do? This is wonderful. Oh, my gosh, look at how splendid. Look at how splendid his attire is. They all remark on how wonderful this new outfit is. And yet there's one voice of rationality. There's somebody who says, what? He's a little boy. The mouth of babes comes truth, right? Little boy catches a glimpse of the ruler, and he bursts out with the truth. He says, the emperor has no clothes on. Then everyone's just totally embarrassed, right? The emperor was bamboozled. He's parading around naked. The people, no one had the courage to say the truth. They're thinking, what? Nobody else sees this but me? I'll have to go along. I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to look like a fool, right? Andersen may have been writing this for his own time, and it's a classic story. It goes back centuries if you think about it. I mean, it can apply to generation after generation. Who knows what kind of crises he was seeing where people really weren't telling the truth. But the truth he tells is one that hits all cultures and at all times. And I think today, more than ever, we are living in the time of the emperor's new clothes, right? We live in a time where nobody wants to speak truth. Nobody. Let me strike that. Let me correct myself. That's not true. I think there's a lot of people who want to speak truth. There's a lot of people who don't accept it. And I think there's a lot of platforms out there that are perpetrating. They are promulgating. They are broadcasting these lies, and people are buying into it. The media says it must be true. If they said this must be true. I think it's hitting our culture especially hard. And just think of the things that we're dealing with, right? Do you know what today is? Today's the 50th anniversary of the passage of Title IX. You know, the Biden administration proposed changes to Title IX, which banned discrimination against women in educational settings. And one of the one of the changes is this. I just want to quote this. It says, quote, these changes would make clear that preventing any person from participating in an education program or activity consistent with their gender identity would be subject to them to more than de minimis harm on the basis of sex and therefore be prohibited, end of quote. What's that mean? I'll translate. In other words, that man who calls himself Leah Thomas, who swims for the University of Pennsylvania's women's team, he would be allowed to continue swimming on the women's team, even though he's clearly a man, right? I mean, what's wrong with this administration? What's wrong with our culture? What's wrong with these university officials? Right? Don't you think it's a little silly? Anybody who looks at Leah Thompson knows that he's a man. He didn't transition. He didn't start taking those hormones until after he went through puberty. He clearly has a male advantage over these other swimmers. And I feel bad for the girl who comes in number two, number three, and the person that should have won a bronze or came in third who's out because of it. I feel bad for the girls who don't get their scholarships as a result of this. And it's wacky. People look at Rachel Levine, right? We can take a look at Bruce Jenner, who's now Caitlyn Jenner, wants to call himself that. When I look at Bruce, I don't think he's a woman. I know him as a decathlon winner, an Olympian. The man on and I hope this doesn't sound uncharitable, but it's the reality. Bruce is a man, right? He is. We've talked about this in the past. You know, your chromosomal, your physiology does not lie. It does not lie. And yet we live in a culture today where everybody's like, well, you know, if he says he's a woman, he's got to be a woman if they say that. And, you know, we have to respect that. And we've got to be politically correct. There's a great piece of audio that I've played many times. I want to play it for you now. And I want to talk to you about this, too. I want your take on it, too. I don't know. I just feel like we live in this culture where everybody sees the king naked, but nobody wants to speak the truth. Why? Because you're going to be perceived as bigoted, as biased, as misogynistic, as what? Prejudice? As, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the term is. I don't know what people's fear is. There's really compelling video from the Family Policy Institute about what lengths people today are going to go through in order not to offend somebody who is clearly misguided about something. And you know, when you hear this, this is perhaps one of the best pieces of audio that I run on this show. This will not be the last time I run it, and it's certainly not the first time. But when you're able to hear this, it shows you how blatantly ridiculous the acceptance of these non-realities are. Maggie's trying to get the audio up right now. She'll get that for you. Dr. Miriam Grossman is going to be joining me. Maggie's doing double duty right now. So before she's queuing up the audio, and I do want to play it for you. Maggie, you've got the 5'9 guy, don't you? The Family Policy Institute? Oh, okay. All right. Maggie, she said she'll get it to me. We'll put that in the rejoin for you when we come back. Let me give you a final thought. I do want to play this for you because I think it's absolutely, absolutely worth hearing, okay? Just getting back to the earlier point, you can join me here at 888-914-9149. You've got Leah Thompson swimming for the University of Pennsylvania, right? Even though he's a man. One of the provisions the Department of Education has proposed, it's just one of them that I just shared with you. But in Scotland, there was a 66-year-old man who went to donate blood. And I don't think I shared the story with you yet. This guy donates blood you know, on a really regular basis. He's a regular blood donor, and he hopped on his bike. He cruised down to where he was going to give blood. He filled out a new form. Asking, you know, hey, you fill out all the regular information. He did. And on the form, it was a new form. They wanted him to fill it out because he's normally a regular. And he was going through this thing, and the form asked him, are you pregnant? And he says, pregnant? You know, he says, I'm a man, right? He was just totally baffled by it. The form asked if he'd been pregnant in the last 6 months. It was a question that everyone who was going to give blood had to complete, whether you were a male or whether you were a female. You had to complete it, regardless of your sex. And he went on and he asked, you know, the people there at the desk about it. I'm a man. Of course I'm not pregnant. Well, just fill that out. He says, no, I am not going to fill that out. I'm a man. Of course, men cannot become pregnant. But we live in a culture today where people think men can become pregnant, right? It's part of this emperor's new clothes. It's really quite ridiculous. So he told him straight. He says, look, I'm not going to answer the question. And if that's not good enough for you, I'm walking out. They said, well, we can't take your blood. He walked out and stopped giving blood. Stopped giving blood. In Wisconsin, three kids in middle school had to get legal help because the school district was going to charge them of violating federal statutes. So you know what their crime was? This was a ridiculous story. It happened maybe last month or the month before. Again, they're going to be charged with violating federal statutes. Their crime was calling a classmate by the pronoun of their real sex rather than whatever made-up gender the classmate wanted them to use. The school is actually going to press this case against these kids. Fortunately, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty was able to convince the district to back down. But that's the insanity. Again, I go back to the emperor's new clothes. Why doesn't somebody in the school say, that's ridiculous. This is a boy. This is a girl. We're not going to call them or whatever their pronoun is that they want. People who do not speak the truth, who do not say, hey, Emperor, you got no clothes on. People who do not speak up about Leah Thompson or you having to use these pronouns, you're only contributing to the problem. You know, Fairfax County, Virginia, I'll share one more story with you. The school district there just passed a provision that punishes kids for so-called malicious misgendering. Okay, malicious misgendering. So parents, they protested against that change, but it still passed. It passed 8-4. So I wonder if you're going to see more kids getting homeschooled, maybe being sent to Catholic schools like we just talked about. And then finally, Governor Hochul, Governor of New York, Governor Kathleen Hochul, you heard her yesterday, right? She's going to be sending teams of inspectors to pro-life centers or pregnancy centers around, you know, the state, around the old Empire State, because those centers don't provide abortions. Did you hear what I said? She's going to be sending teams of inspectors to pro-life pregnancy centers because they don't provide abortions. Now, does that make any sense to you? Does that make any sense? We've been deluding ourselves for a half a century. We've been telling ourselves that what's growing in the womb is not a baby, it's just a clump of cells. And even if we acknowledge the reality, then we tell ourselves, it's okay. It's for the best. You know, you can't have somebody not be able to go to school or, you know, have the burden of taking care of a child. It's good because, you know, we just don't have the ability to raise this child. You know, I wouldn't want to put them, have them grow up in this world. I mean, think of all the weird excuses we use. I won't go through it. We talked about it earlier about, you know, how somebody got pregnant with twins and you know, it was horrible, right? Why? Life is a gift, right? There's a great deception going on today where you hear this mantra that, you know, you can terminate a child in the womb. Why? Oh, it's a clump of cells. No, it's not. That clump of cells is not just a clump of cells. It doesn't give birth, as I said, to a giraffe, an elephant, an orangutan, to a flower, a fish, a lizard. Because you give birth, and you know this, to a human being. And yet somehow, again, we try to mute this reality. We don't speak about it. Look at these people protesting. They're vehemently protesting and championing this great culture of death. As though it's a right, it's a privilege, it's something great. I mean, they're such on the wrong side of history. So whatever you tell yourselves, you know, when it comes to this, whether it's about sexual orientation, whether it's about life, it's a lie, just as much as the lie the tellers were telling that emperor. You know, we tell the lie because you don't want to face the truth. A lot of people tell the lie because they don't want to experience ostracization, maybe, or maybe they don't want to feel like, you know, they look stupid or they're wrong or they're politically incorrect. I'm joined today by Dr. Miriam Grossman. She's a psychiatrist and the author of You're Teaching My Child What? And the subtitle of that is A Physician Exposes the Lies of Sex Education and How They Harm Your Children. But check it out. Miriam Grossman, You're Teaching My Child What? It's well worth a read. You can find her online also at MiriamGrossmanMD.com. Doctor, I'm delighted to have you with me today. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you know, this is so frustrating to me. I was thinking about, and before you came on, I was sharing a little bit about the Emperor's New Clothes and that story that seems to apply to generation after generation, but I think our time more than ever. And I think about all the wackiness that we have, from pronouns to the life issue, to transgenderism. I mean, you go through the litany of things that are now affecting us. The stuff that's being taught in our schools as though it's normal. I'm concerned, and it's incredibly frustrating. What is it that rational human beings, intelligent human beings, can buy into this stuff as if though it's normal? Well, why aren't more people speaking up and saying enough is enough?
Well, we all have reason to be very deeply concerned, and that is because this is not only about the Emperor's New Clothes and crazy ideas. This is about children being harmed and being put on a path toward sterility, medical problems, mental health problems, and we don't even know if transitioning, so-called transitioning, because of course a person can't change their sex, but using that terminology, we don't even know if in the long term it's going to help the individual. So yeah, we have a lot of reason to be deeply concerned, especially parents. And I'm trying to get the word out that parents have to be aware that this is a social contagion.
It is.
Meaning that it's not based in biology. It's based in an epidemic that is fueled by the internet. And with the lockdowns and COVID and all the stress that's been on our children and teenagers, many of them have turned to the idea of being transgender as a solution to their problems, which it is not.
I could not agree with you more. But again, I have trouble, you know, getting my head around why people accept this. It seems so more commonplace today than it did when I was growing up. And you're right. I mean, our bodies don't lie. You know, whether you're Caitlyn Jenner or Rachel Levine or Leah Thomas or whoever it is that's out there that says, no, I'm a woman, I'm not a man. We have, as you know, as a physician, biological and chromosomal, you know, realities, right? A biological man does not have, you know, female genitalia. A biological man doesn't have female chromosomes. A biological man doesn't get a monthly period. A biological man can't have a baby. And yet today they're talking about this type of stuff. How can people say, you know, science is truth, science is reality. You often see these signs, you know, left likes to put them forward. Why do they set these realities aside when it comes to life in the womb or to transgenderism or to these other issues? Why do they mute the science and accept non-reality? I don't understand how you can parse the two.
Okay, Drew, I mean, it is a war against reality. I agree with you. But you have to understand here that people follow the experts. Parents follow the so-called experts. When parents go to their pediatrician, their the guidance counselor at the school, the principal of the school, the gender therapist, when they listen to what's coming out of Washington, D.C. and the Department of Health and Human Services, what they're hearing is that your child needs to be given these medical interventions quickly. That is what our president and the Department of Health and Human Services recently said. And we know that these early treatments of kids with blockers and hormones and surgeries, we know that they are experimental and that we do not have high quality long-term data about how they're going to do. So I consider the professionals and the educators and politicians who are giving this message to parents to be doing something very wrong and immoral. And I believe, I'm not a lawyer, but I believe that's called malfeasance.
No, I would agree with him. I would totally, totally agree with you. My guest today, Dr. Miriam Grossman, we're taking a look at the war on reality. That's really what we're talking about here today, and how people today, how our culture is accepting an alternate reality when it comes to sex, when it comes to life, when it comes to so many of these other issues that seem to face us today. I'd love to hear from you. If you want to join us, you can ask your question, share your comment. You can get in 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We'll go to Maria listening to us in the Quad Cities. Maria, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon. And thank you very much for your show and everything that you do and the truth that you bring out. And I say that a lot of the problems that we're having is because of the press, the news or whatever, that so-called news that we're getting from all over. One thing, they say one thing and they make that a truth without even thinking about what they're saying. And I attribute a lot of that to the members of the press and to people of posture that do not speak out against this nonsense.
All right. Doctor, I'll let you respond.
Well, certainly we have to be very careful where we get our news from these days. I'm not going to mention any particular place to get your news from, but, you know, you can figure it out and do your research and look around. There are alternate news sites. There's many, many websites, and there's many, many people that are presenting the truth and, you know, different ways of looking at things than the prevailing narrative. So everyone needs to do their homework and find the place where they want to get their news.
Yeah, I think you're being very charitable. I could not agree with you more. I have a real problem. I've been voicing this about what's coming out of Hollywood, especially what's targeting our children out of places like Disney. I mean, they're really going after our kids today. What we're seeing being taught in our educational institutions, and of course, what some very left-leaning type of broadcast institutions, they'll put on guests, they'll put on authorities that put forth this garbage, and people ingest it. If it's coming out of this platform, it must be true. And that's part of the problem we're facing. I mean, it's an all-out attack from so many different areas. I don't think it's any one particular agency or area. I think it's an onslaught. I think, personally, Doctor, I think it's demonic, really. I do. I just think there's a real nefarious undercurrent here. I have to take a short break. When we come back, let's talk more. We'll jump into the phones. We'll grab your calls. You can get us. You can join the conversation. Love to hear from you. It's 888-914-9149, taking a look at the war on reality. I was thinking about that classic tale, The Emperor's New Clothes, and I thought, man, are we not living in that kingdom? Why don't more people speak the truth? I'll be back with your calls and more conversation right after this. Relevant Radio runs on horsepower, your horsepower. Donate any vehicle and keep your station running. Join in with thousands of other listeners who have given their unused vehicles at relevantradio.com/car.
So if I told you that I was a woman, what would your response be?
Good for you. Okay. Like, yeah.
Nice to meet you. I'd be like, what? Really?
I don't have a problem with it.
I'd ask you how you came to that conclusion.
If I told you that I was Chinese, what would your response be?
I mean, I might be a little surprised, but I would say, good for you. Like, yeah, be who you are.
I would maybe think you had some Chinese ancestor.
I would ask you how you similarly came to that conclusion and why you came to that conclusion.
I would have a lot of questions, just because on the outside, I would assume that you're a white man.
If I told you I'm 6'5", what would you say?
That I would question.
Why?
Because you're not. No, I don't think you're 6'5".
if you truly believed you're 6'5", I don't think it's harmful. I think it's fine if you believe that. It doesn't matter to me if you think you're taller than you are.
So you'd be willing to tell me I'm wrong?
I wouldn't tell you you're wrong.
No, but I say that I don't think that you are.
I feel like that's not my place as like another human to say someone is wrong or to draw lines or boundaries.
It shouldn't be hard to tell a 5'9 white guy that he's not a 6'5 Chinese woman. But clearly it is. Why? What does that say about our culture? And what does that say about our ability to answer the questions that actually are difficult?
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That's one of my favorite pieces of audio. Are you 6'5 or you're not? You know, there's certain objective truths, right? You're measurable truths, you know, and yet people today are more than willing to say, well, if you say that you're a woman, you're a woman. If you say you're 6'5", it's okay. If you say you're Chinese, even though I see you're Hispanic, it's you must be. You know, it's like how we justify this type of stuff. We are living in what I call an alternate reality right now. We are living in the kingdom of the emperor with no clothes. And nobody is speaking up. I mean, there are some people speaking up. I'm trying to do it. My guest today, Dr. Miriam Grossman, is doing it. There are people that are out there. But fundamentally, the culture at large, we've got our educational institutions. We have our entertainment industry. We've got the government. We've got this current administration. I mean, you go through the litany of areas that are trying to indoctrinate and push a false reality. To have you believe a lie, to me, it's so reflective of the evil one. You know, where do lies come from? Who's the prince of these lies? Huh? Who's the great deceiver? This is not good. It's not good for the country. It's not good for the individual. This is an attack on marriage. It's an attack on family. This is an attack on reality. And I'm here to speak the truth for you. I've invited Dr. Miriam Grossman to join me. She's a psychiatrist. She's the author of a book called You're Teaching My Child What, a Physician's Physician Exposes the Lies of Sex Education and How They Harm Your Child. You can check her out at MiriamGrossmanMD.com. And doctor, I'm sure you probably have a Twitter handle too. What's the best way to connect you there? People want to follow your tweets.
On Twitter, it's Miriam_Grossman.
All right, Miriam_Grossman. Follow her there on Twitter. What you make of that audio?
Well, I didn't hear the audio. I'm sorry.
What? Oh, it's a classic. I'm sorry you didn't get a chance to hear that. We'll have to go ahead and run it for you another time. It was a person on the street doing interviews with people on, I think it was a college campus or somewhere, asking very objective realities. If he's 5'4", if he's 6', he says, I'm 5'4", Chinese woman, would you accept that? And people are like, well, yeah, if you think that. Other people are saying, no, not really, because they see these objective truths. We happen to throw out objective truth today for these lies, and that's what we're talking about. If you want to join us, we'll take your calls. Let's go to the phones. We'll take Ed in Sherrillville, Indiana. He joins us today. Ed, you're on the air with Dr. Grossman. Good afternoon.
Hi, Dr. Grossman and Drew. I really enjoy the conversations that you have every day on Relevant Radio. Really appreciate it.
You got it.
I think Dr. Grossman, yourself, and the previous callers are right on the money. If we're told this over and over again, we're going to believe it, even though if we were critically thinking of it, we wouldn't. And I'd cite the example of global warming. Yes, global warming is statistically happening, but we can't tie it to humans causing it because there's not enough statistical data over the billions of years that the planet Earth has been here. There's no real data to look at the cause and effect. So they skew the equations to make it look like, yes, we're causing it. And I guess we're 20 years overdue for having the East and West Coast flooded if you listen to the experts 30 years ago. But well, and some very smart people and people respect that it's true. And they're doing the same thing here. They keep putting this mantra on us and our kids. We're done for. We don't think anymore.
Well, thank you, Ed. I appreciate your call. And doctor, I'll let you respond.
Well, I'm certainly no expert on global warming, but I would say that, you know, everyone has to find their sources of information that they're going to trust. Everyone has to be critical about things that they read and they hear. You can't automatically trust your politicians, obviously, but even your doctors, therapists, teachers, what have you. Everyone has to realize we're really living in a time of confusion. Like you said, it's a time of darkness, but there is a lot of light as well, and it's a question of finding it and staying with it. So I believe that on my website, for example, I have a lot of very important information for your listeners, especially for parents. And my website is MiriamGrossmanMD.com. And on that website, I can direct you, you know, to other places where there's information about the transgender issue and other issues.
Yeah. Doctor, I'm just curious, as a psychiatrist, all right, as a doctor, what's with this psychosis? I mean, how do you evaluate this? I know there's multiple influences on people, but in terms of the psychology behind this, why has this become so rampant today? And why are people so accepting as something that we know is objectively false on so many different levels? You can take anything from life in the womb to transgenderism to so many of the other issues we've already brought up.
Okay, well, I'll just focus on the transgender issue for the time being. Otherwise, it's just too huge of a topic. But in terms of the transgender epidemic, like I believe that I mentioned earlier, that it's a psychic epidemic. It's there's a contagious element to it. So that's why you're finding, you know, within one class of kids, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, there might be half a dozen or a dozen kids that begin to identify as something other than a girl or a boy. And then those numbers grow. And why is this going on? Well, We had psychic epidemics many times in history. Not so long ago, we had anorexia, bulimia. There was also a contagious element to that. And basically what's happening is that kids who are under a lot of stress, and with COVID and lockdowns, the stress was multiplied by many times. You have kids who have underlying mental disorders or challenges. They're autistic, they're anxious, they're depressed, or they may have some other problem that they're dealing with. And it's presented to them, what they're hearing online and from their friends is that if you have any distress whatsoever, then especially distress with your changing body, then that probably means that you're transgender. And that changing your appearance and the way that you present yourself to the world is going to help you feel better. And so a lot of kids are believing that it's a fad, it's contagious, and once a child identifies as neither boy nor girl, or the opposite, or both, or neither, they are welcomed with open arms by a lot of people in their class, in their community, their peers, their teachers, their neighbors. They get a lot of positive feedback. They feel like they belong somewhere. Yep. They're told that they're strong and that they're special and that they're, you know, good for them, and they're congratulated. And so these are kids who might otherwise not be getting any of that positive attention.
Yep. Well, doctor, I know you've got a busy schedule. I'm grateful for your time. I know you've got to run. So I'm going to let you go. If you want to leave us with any final thoughts, feel free to do that. Otherwise, we'll make sure that we link over to your website and your Twitter so people can follow you.
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, you know, it is a dark time, but it only takes one little flame, one little candle to light up a dark room. And there are a lot of little candles out there, small and large. People just, you know, have to find them. I'm sure that you talk a lot about this on your show. And I invite people to follow me on Twitter at Miriam_Grossman. There's a lot of good stuff, and on my website. And protect the children. The children need the adults to be smart and to be wise and to be in control and to make the good decisions.
Yeah, amen to that. Well, Doctor, thank you very much for your time. We'll catch up, and of course, you can check out her book as well. I'm going to take a short break. When I come back, I'll grab a few more of your telephone calls as we're taking a look at the war on reality. And boy, it is, it's crazy. We're living in the kingdom of the emperor with no clothes today. And take a look at what the answers, what the solutions are. If you're on hold, I'll do my best to get you on. Thank you for your telephone call. And you can join us if you're just tuning in. The number's 888-914-9149. We're back with more right after this. We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Your life connected.
That's a classic, isn't it? A little Toto there for you. Hold a line. Good afternoon. It's good to be here with you today. Over the weekend, I was thinking about that classic story of the Emperor's New Clothes, and I just thought how appropriate it is. As a broadcaster, every day I open these microphones and I try to bring you up to speed on the most important issues of the day. And we got to funnel through a lot of falsehoods, a lot of mistruth, whether it comes to why we are, you know, exiting Afghanistan, or what, you know, inflation is, or global warming, or what's happening on the border, or, you know, all of these issues. What's being taught to our kids in school, and the issues of sexuality, I mean, abortion, life. I mean, think of the things we cover here on a daily basis. I always try. I do my best to give you a moral look at that. I'm Catholic. That's the framework. That's the lens in which I look at all these issues. Even when it's unpopular, a lot of these positions can be unpopular. We live in a culture today where we're living, as I said, in that kingdom of the emperor with no clothes. It's a war on reality. And if you don't know the story, there's a set of weavers that came in. They made this king a set of new clothes. They were supposedly the most fashionable. He was completely naked. Nobody who in the kingdom during his parade wanted to say anything. They didn't want to look stupid or admit that they couldn't see the clothes. So they went along with the lie until one young boy said, "Hey, you got no clothes on. What's going on here?" And the reality set in. I think we need that reality when it comes to life in the womb. It's a baby. It's a child. End of discussion. It's ridiculous, people who are advocating it. It's not. A man is a man. His physiology, his chromosomal makeup indicate that, along with a lot of other things. I mean, we can go through case after case after case. Bottom line here, and I want to grab your calls. History has shown that the majority is not always right. Even though the rest of the culture acts like this is right, you know, we have this instinct to conform, to agree. You know, and the majority outweighs, you know, the courage of others to say what they truly believe. It's not. If the crowd refuses to stand up for the truth, like we saw in that classic story, if falsehood continues and nobody speaks the truth, then we as a culture, we as a people, we descend into a sham society, you know, and what happens? The worst excesses of dictators have come about as a result of that. We got to be careful about this type of stuff and what it's going to do to the future of this great nation of ours. We're the greatest nation on the planet. I often think, you know, that of Nazi Germany and how it culminated in the Holocaust. You know, the child who speaks out when no one else dares to is the first really at first exposed to ridicule and scorn. But what happens in the end? The truth wins. The crowd recognizes the lie that they've been a party to. Truth always wins. Truth always, always wins. And the reality of this story is that, you know, the free thinking individuality and freedom from social conventions, that's what allows the truth to ultimately emerge. Susan in Tampa, Florida, good afternoon. I'm delighted to have you here today.
Well, sir, thanks for taking me call. I definitely agree with you with the Empire New Clothes analogy. And something I always teach my children, many whom are grown, is that right now we're suffering from the ultimate selfishness, and we're teaching our children, we're teaching our society to be so selfish. Christ was all giving. So the antithesis of all giving is all selfishness. We're teaching them to have no regard for their family, for society. And this is where I believe that so much is stemming from, the ultimate selfishness of it's all about me. And you can put that towards anything, towards the trans movement, towards abortion, towards drugs, towards just how people slovenly behave in front of each other and how we dress. And it's all because we're saying it's about me and being selfish. You know, I believe what we've done is what you tolerate becomes your standard. And we've tolerated so much and our standards gotten so low. But thank you so much for all you do.
Well, thank you for those intelligent comments, Susan. I could not agree with you more. I totally agree. And I'm grateful for your comments there. And I'm delighted. She says, you know, she's teaching her children the truth. She's teaching them reality. I know as your kids get older, sometimes they may disagree with you, but you've got to constantly, I think as a parent, plant seeds of truth in your children when they're young. Make sure they're educated properly, control what they're exposed to. Do your own due diligence. Make sure you're aware of what the answers to some of these questions are. And in the end, when you stand before God, you'll know you've done your part. Ron is listening in Los Angeles, California. Ron, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Good to check in with you again.
Thanks.
I found myself reflecting when I've heard your line of the reminder of the Emperor's New Clothes, and that's definitely been on my mind, how I've considered as the big picture at 61, there have been generational lies about who we are, what we are to ourselves, to God. And when those lies are passed along to the next generation, the next generation doesn't know how to handle truth. And when they accept it and they believe it themselves and they fight for it and pass it on, and it became such a cycle that we're in such an uproar today that people don't know a whole lot about who they are, the reality of the God and Satan and all his pushes and small nudges for people to go his way. But things like abortion, I now consider, I just simply say it's not abortion, it's murder, period.
Right.
You're destroying another human in the womb. But it's so scary and sad at the same time that I find myself thinking the line of the blessed is, blessed are those who are scorned and, you know, are ridiculed and so forth for my namesake for telling the truth. And that's where we're at. We're at that tipping point to where, you know, the good versus evil, the point of, you know, do or die in terms of what we're going to stand for and what we're going to believe. And so many people believe in the lies. And I think why they fight so hard is that when they realize they are not getting the truth, they want to believe the lie because of the behavior they've, you know, been a part of. And it angers them that they have to change in order to believe that truth. And oftentimes I, you know, I hear these people foaming at the mouth about abortion and trying to keep it legal, and all these people who are just causing such destruction just to try to keep that, you know, issue going. And it's going to blow up in their faces. And at some point, those that are supporting it from the highest level on down to the smallest person, there's consequences for that. We don't know what it is yet, but because I feel like in Los Angeles, I'm living in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah 2.0, I'm waiting for the sky to open up, and I really don't want to be around when it happens, but it's coming.
Well, let's keep praying. Hey, we can do our part. You know, it only took a few. I think of Nineveh, you know, I think of you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, how that ended. But if God can find some just people, I think his mercy will prevail. I think you bring up some good points too, Ron. I'm grateful for it, because you made me think about what happens to those who ultimately speak truth today. You know, you're going to be hated. Plato once said, nobody is more hated than he who speaks truth, right? How true is that today in our current climate? How true is that? You really are outgunned and you are outnumbered. Nobody's more hated than those who speak truth. Think of Plato saying that. We see today, I think, an opportunity for us to shine as martyrs. We celebrated John the Baptist today. We celebrated Thomas More yesterday. Both of these people died for truth, right? They lay their heads, they lay their lives down for that truth, in particular for marriage, which is really, you know, being redefined today. we are called, I think, to martyrdom. Now, we may not be called to lay down our lives, but there are all sorts of martyrdoms you can endure. And maybe it is speaking the truth as a form of martyrdom to your children, to your spouse, to your siblings, to your circle of friends. How many of us don't speak truth in that circle of friends because you don't want to seem like, oh, you know, you're not accepting of that lifestyle? You don't agree with this? You don't want to get into it? Maybe you're afraid to speak the truth. We live in a cancel culture where Christians and those who really believe in Christian ethics are being chastised, ostracized, and really are being martyred in some respects. We've got this bizarre reality going on in our culture with all these different sexual ethics. Men who dress up as the opposite sex, they go to public events, and that's supposedly normal, who claim they are. You know, Isaiah 59, a great line out of the scriptures where it says, the truth has lost its place in public squares. Isaiah 59, 14. It's so appropriate for today, right? Because we live in a secular world. If you study Marxist philosophy, the ruling class manipulates the culture of society. In other words, you know, the imposed ruling class worldview becomes the accepted cultural norm, and that's what we're seeing today. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, is that not what you're seeing today? You see it coming from the Biden administration. You see it from those who really control the media. We're seeing it in our educational institutions. Strange, strange times. But this, I think, is an outcrop of that Marxist philosophy. Social norms. Take a look at these social norms that are encouraged by the left. They're determining what is considered morally acceptable today. That they're the ones that are determining what is morally acceptable or unacceptable. And look what they think is great. Just suicide. Abortion, I mean, euthanasia. Take a look at where we're moving the needle. Homosexuality, wokeism, transgenderism, this whole general neutral pronoun mess. Yeah, I mean, it goes on and on. And those like you and me who speak the truth, you're being hated, becoming increasingly hated. You're being persecuted, you're being ostracized, you're made to seem like you're out of touch or that you're not compassionate or merciful. And yet you're speaking truth. And when you speak truth in love, I don't think there's anything more powerful than that. So why do we hate the truth givers? Why does our society seem to move towards an unchristian, unnatural standpoint on life and gender? This is demonic at its heart, the very core of it. I am convinced of it. There's a dark and demonic spirit at play here. Sister Lucia DeSantis, I say it every day just about. She said the final confrontation will be over marriage and family. And we see how Satan's attacking that on so many different levels. Southern California, Patricia, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Hello?
Hi, Patricia, go right ahead.
I'm calling about the king that didn't have no clothes.
Yes, ma'am, go right ahead.
Okay, the woman that was speaking with you earlier, I was listening to her, and I also listened to you. I really started listening to the radio, to your program, because my sister sent it to me, because I'm in a nursing facility.
Wonderful.
And about the woman that was a man, he changed to a female, and he's either going to be in the Olympics like a swimmer or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, his body, even though he changed to a woman, his body is going to react as a man because that's the way he is. God do not make mistakes. We make mistakes, okay? Now, the thing is, the tennis player, no. You have to understand, God created Adam first and then Eve. He did not create Adam and Steve.
Yeah.
or Eve and Susie. He did not. Man is the head of the household.
You're right. Patricia, I got to hold you right here because I got about a minute left. I'm grateful for your patience and your call. And you're right. You go back to another great point. You know, God created them, man and woman. If you believe the scriptures, you know, if you believe that God is the author of life, that's a very clear reality. Thank you, Patricia. I'm grateful for your call. I'm going to sneak Barbara in. She's been holding a while, too. She's in Stockton, California. Hi, Barbara.
Oh, hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to emphasize that what I think is going on is spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you think about, we know that there's been over 63 million abortions And remember in the Old Testament when the Israelites start worshiping Baal, they start using their children, you know, giving them over to the false gods, you know, and having them killed. And I think, you know, our Heavenly Father, there's such a thing as religious retribution, and I think he's looking down at this. And when you think of all the love and the blessings that he's bestowed upon America, and, you know, and how the people are living, and especially the life among families now. And I think that, you know, it's just spiritual warfare, and we just have to pray and pray. And I just wish that this was something that the Pope Francis will emphasize.
Amen to that. Well, I'm so grateful for your call, and I think you're so right. What's the solution? It is prayer. It is sacrifice. It's living our Christian values. In the end, good always conquers evil. Mighty empires have risen, and those mighty empires have become memories. Dust, they have fallen. Don't be deceived. Don't think America will be here forever. One thing that does live forever is your soul. Make sure you're right with God. Speak truth and live it with love.